In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is our joy to celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. The word Epiphany means revealing or manifestation. What was foreshadowed in the Old Testament is now fulfilled in this child. In the Old Testament, God had appeared to people in what we call theophanies, but he never remained. So today God has done something new. He has come to this earth and appeared in a new way through the birth of a virgin. And he has come for a new purpose, to give his life as a ransom so that all people might live with him forever. He is the mystery of God. He is the Word made flesh, the light of the world, the way to the Father, the resurrection, the Good Shepherd, and the life of men. And on it goes. For in Christ, all the mysteries of God are revealed. He embodies it all. God does not sit on high, giving us a little forgiveness, a little grace, a little help, a little love. He gives us his incarnate Son. Without him, we have nothing. With him, we have all things. And faith clings to him and to his word. The Magi know that the Christ is born, and so they go to worship him. What you worship is your God. So the Magi know that this child is God. They have seen his star in the east, and they go, they search. They cannot explain the hypostatic union as clearly as we can, but they know that this God is their Lord and Savior. They don't simply want the information about his birth. They want to be near him, in his very presence, receiving the gifts that he bestows. So they go, following the star, and then at the behest of the Word of God. In Christ, the Jews are saved. In Christ, the Gentiles are saved. In Christ, Jews and Gentiles are united in one holy and apostolic Christian church. These Gentiles come because faith fills their heart to leave their homeland in search of their newborn King. God dwells among men, and they come to worship. Beautifully, Simeon sang of this, and we echo it weekly. Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, as he holds that Christ child in his arms, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The light is Christ himself, the bright morning star who rises to call men out of darkness and into his wonderful light, to call them away from the empty, futile ways inherited by their forefathers, and into his way, into the way of faith and love and trust. Jesus manifests God to them, for God loves, forgives, and saves all who believe in him. Now put Simeon's text next to Micah's text that the scribes told Herod. From Bethlehem will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The mystery is manifest in Christ, and that mystery is this, that the ruler is a shepherd, and he shepherds Israel. So Israel is no longer connected to a genetic lineage. Israel is all who believe in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles, those who share the faith of Abraham. Only believers are the true Israel, the true people of God, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Only believers can rightly pray Psalm 23 and understand it properly. For the ruler is a shepherd who is leading them and enlightening their hearts and minds so they may feast at a table with him in the presence of their enemies. As the Gentile Magi found Jesus with his mother, so we today still find Jesus in the midst of his holy church. Like those Magi, we don't want to stay home any more than they wanted to stay home. We want to go and be in his presence, Yes, he is everywhere. But he has not promised to give us his forgiveness, life, and salvation everywhere. So we go to where he has promised to be, his gracious presence in word and sacrament, so that the gifts he has secured by his death might be ours. Like them, we know this child is our God. It's a mystery because you cannot fully comprehend how two natures are united in one person. It's a mystery because you cannot fully comprehend how Jews and Gentiles are united in one body. A secret is a secret so long as you don't know the information. Once you know it, it's no longer a secret. But a mystery remains a mystery even after you know that information. So we can speak about Christ's union or person in some detail, but we can never fully exhaust it. And we can speak about this union that we have with Christ and with one another in some detail, but again, we can never fully exhaust it. The Old Testament knew of such mysteries, but you are far more blessed than they. You know far more about who God is than they ever did. And you know far more how the Gentiles are included among the people of Abraham. They had Rahab and Ruth. And don't forget Uriah the Hittite was not a Jew. The Kerethites and the Perizzites also, David's bodyguards, were not Jews. And yet David could not imagine just how many Gentiles filled the church today, all enlightened by this Savior. Antagonists in our day will say that you are only a Christian because your parents were. To them, they want salvation to be hereditary. And we should thank God for our parents, for God used them to bring us to the waters of holy baptism. God used them to teach us how to pray, to instruct us in the faith. We need not point out perhaps their shortcomings. We should give thanks to God from the bottom of our heart for all they have done to lead us to Christ. But we also freely confess that salvation is not hereditary. The Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, sanctified and keeps us in this Christian faith. The senses cannot fully comprehend how this can be so. He works through his word. Wherever that word is preached, there is the Spirit. And so we hear that word with glad and sincere hearts. As the word led the Magi to Christ, so that word still leads us out of the darkness of a fallen world and to Christ. Christ present for us in word and in sacraments. There he bestows himself upon us. There he bestows his gifts, forgiveness, life, peace, joy, hope, and gladness forevermore. In Christ, then, all believers are equal, for you are all baptized in the same baptism, you all have heard the same forgiveness, you all are clothed with that same righteousness. No one comes before, no one comes after, according to the gospel. We are not saved because our parents had a proper pedigree, but we are saved because the King of the Jews was born for us and gave his life up for us to redeem us from our empty way of life. He is our King. He is our God. We worship him. He is our mediator through whom we now have equal access to God. Only Jesus has the right to be called the Son of God. And yet Jesus incorporates us into his own body so that we might speak with him, our Father, who art in heaven. He not only saves us, but he gives us standing before the Father and makes us co-heirs with him of eternal things. None come before, none come after, all saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ. This gospel makes everyone equal. But that does not mean we lose our identity. Christ is the ruler of all nations. He still is the Son of David. He doesn't become the son of Esau or Moses or someone else. He remains the son of David. So also, we do not become amorphous men. We maintain our distinct ancestry, lineage, and even to a degree, our distinct and unique culture. The Magi don't begin to eat kosher or dress like Jews. They don't even worship like the Jews, for they never make it to the temple. For in Christ, the shadows have ended. In Christ, all men are united together as one. And so we are not trying to repristinate a bygone era. We live in a present reality with our culture, with our unique attire, our technology, and our food. We're not trying to be first century Christians or 16th century Germans. We are 21st century Americans united to the same Christ as they are, heirs of the same promises that they are, partakers of the same gospel that they have. Through Christ, we all have access to God. Though we are Gentiles, we are also Israel, for we share the faith of Abraham. We are redeemed and saved by the King of the Jews. Christ has redeemed our identity, our personality, and even our bloodlines. For all things are sanctified by the word of God. Nothing can separate us from God. Nothing in our past or in our ancestry can cut us off from his love. Our liturgy confesses that. Our liturgy is not cultural. Neither is it countercultural. It transcends culture. It takes the best practices, the best hymns, the best music, the best preaching, the best architecture, the best ceremony, the best dress, the best order, the best structure, and it politely leaves the rest to history. There is no one particular culture that has made a mark on this. It is a gift given by our forefathers to us, a gift which we treasure and pass down to our descendants in the faith. Lift up your eyes and see, Isaiah says. Even in our small congregation, see how many different people gather here out of the nations, all united by the same blood of Christ, all coming because the Spirit has led them by the word to the Christ. We stand side by side and kneel shoulder to shoulder at his altar to worship him, for we cannot stay home when the King is present to give such gifts. We don't just want to know. We want to receive. We want to receive him who was born for us Americans, him who died for us to redeem us. Our unity is found in Christ alone. He has brought each one of us individually out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Yet we are no longer simply individuals. We are part of his body. We are no longer a group of people, even, or a gathering of people who all share similar ideas. No, we are members one of another. Though we are all different, as a hand is different than the eye, or the ear different from the foot, we all are one in Christ. Only in Christ. A mystery indeed, a mystery hidden for the ages, and yet now manifest in Christ, the King of the Jews. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.